You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Nice.
Featuring Bogman.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Do a little dab.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
Too high scores, that bad?
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What's up? What's happening? It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What's going on, everybody? This is Chris Welsh, a.k.a. The Welsh. Joining me, as always, is Scott Bogman. We are In This League. Happy to be here every 8 to 10 Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hope you're listening on the app. If you're listening anywhere else, go download that app. 24/7 free fantasy advice. Can't ask for much more. Today, we've got a good show for you as we're going to be covering some of the top matchups for Week 16. Should be your fantasy championship week. If not, it's just going to be your semifinal week. But we're going to be covering the championship week games in the first hour. In the second hour, we've got Ethan Noroff from Roto World joining us to cover some fantasy basketball stuff. Bogman, do you even have any teams that are still in the fantasy football run?
Yeah, I have. It's going to be you and me.
Oh, yeah.
You in the championship.
I. Yep. Forgot that was you. You and I. So literally only.
Maybe you would like to please make fun of the terrible towel before we start.
No. I'm good.
Here's your opportunity.
I'm good. I'm not going to be Jeremy Hill. You told me there's a curse, so I don't want any
part of
it.
There's definitely a curse. By the way, why don't you, he scored a touchdown, and then he went and grabbed somebody's terrible towel, tried to rip it in half, but he couldn't because he's a bitch.
Yeah, I see it.
And then he just threw it on the ground. So why don't you tell me that was in the middle?
He couldn't rip a towel?
He couldn't rip it in half. So, and he's ripped. I mean, he's very strong.
He's tried an to athlete.
He could not
like,
do it.
I expect
I'm not saying I could do it.
Well, like, it's a towel. I expect like the punter shouldn't be able to do it. But like, he'd probably be able to rip a towel.
Yeah, well, he couldn't do it. He tried to do it twice. I'm telling you, go back and watch the video. He tried to rip it, couldn't do it.
I wish he would have found some scissors and, like, cut it. Like, ooh, look at me. I'm cutting the towel.
So, but that was the middle of the second quarter. Why don't you give me Jeremy Hill's production for the rest of the game?
I have no idea. Like, 5 carries for 4 yards.
6 carries for -1 yards.
Oh, it's the terrible towel curse.
It's a terrible towel curse, man. And we've seen a lot of teams run down for it. The Titans stomped on it. 8 games in a row they lost. Bengals, Hushmanzada wipes his feet with it. Then the rest of his career is CJ Hushmanzada, and they lose in the playoffs. There's a whole Wikipedia on it. Go to Wikipedia and look up Terrible Towel. It'll tell you all the teams that, you know, disparaging the Terrible Towel has ruined. So
well,
go
he
ahead.
Go, he should be jumping
that.
In the Salvation Army big old bowl, not stepping on the towel.
Oh,
things work out better. And they don't work out better for Darren Revelle when you make stupid tweets about thinking Salvation Army is a ploy that's happening, a Salvation Army owning him on Twitter, just being like,
this horrible goddamn charity that goes out and contributes to all these people who are starving while I'm over here eating minor league baseball.
And Salvation Army's like, yeah, Darren, we got 58 million people to feed, so we're doing work. Owned. Burn.
You know, I might be on Darren Revelle with this. Where are the 58 million people in America that are starving? Because I can't find one person who isn't fat anymore, but there's 58 million people needing food. I don't see it.
It's pretty bad. Well, you live in Scottsdale, so.
Well, that's true. I do live in Scottsdale.
You're not seeing any of it. You're enclosed.
I go down to the freeway. I see a lot of it, actually, to be honest with you. So.
Yeah, well, you're enclosed in it. Well, not enclosed today is a great episode. We have got, like I said, your matchups. We've got some fantasy basketball in the second hour. So don't go anywhere. We're going to get right into it. We have got to hit it. It's your fantasy football week 16. Look at every single game coming up right here on the other side of the break. It's In This League. It's Bogman of the Welsh on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, the first one up here, the Welsh, we got the Giants, and the spread actually just changed as I was looking at this, so that's funny. It's the Giants by 2.5 over the Eagles in Philly, and the over-under is 41.
Wow, low scoring. Is there going to be some weather?
I don't know if there's going to be any weather, but it's cold. It's on the East Coast. It's at night. It's a Thursday night game.
Oh,
it's right around
awful,
the holidays.
Man.
It's going to be terrible. I mean, obviously you have to start Odell Beckham Jr. Well, this isn't a fantastic matchup with him. I mean, there's some bad matchups for good players this week.
Yeah, you just don't.
There really, really is.
You don't not start him. Beckham having a great year, by the way. And people are writing him off. Dude's got a legit chance at 100 receptions. He's already just about right. He's right under 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. Having an Odell Beckham type year, it's a great year. He's a no-brainer. The big question, okay, so if we're sticking with the Giants here, do you start Eli against Philly?
I try for a different option. I don't want to.
Would you start Carson Wentz or Eli Manning?
Oh, Eli all day.
I think Eli is going to get, unless you've got like Andrew Luck or something like that, you know, I think Eli is probably a starter. Rashad Jennings, is he desperation?
Yeah, he's desperation, absolutely. I think anyone outside of Odell in this game is a little bit of desperation. Eli's maybe not, but Sproles is coming back, so that you know, that's going to hurt Ryan Matthews for sure. Zach Ertz actually might not be a horrible start in this game.
I like
Zach
Ertz.
A lot of checkdowns.
I still like Jordan Matthews.
I don't like Jordan Matthews. If Janoris Jenkins is on him, he's been putting the clamps down on everybody.
Jordan Matthews, he sucks. You sucks. You suck. Hashtag you sucks, Jordan Matthews. I don't know. I mean, to me, it would be hard to... Okay, Terrell Pryor or Jordan Matthews?
I think I'm going with Jordan Matthews because Terrell Pryor's new finger injury thing.
Okay. I don't want to start really any of those running backs. Like you said, Matthews last week was because there was nobody else. Darren Sproles is back. You still don't even know. I try to avoid the Philly. I don't want to... Carson, you know what? Every Philly start to me is desperation outside of Zach Ertz. Now, I'm thinking, I don't want to start Wentz. I don't want to start Matthews or Sproles. Matthews is a little bit more, but they're all a little bit like, I've got no other good options.
How much of the shine came off of Carson Wentz, by the way? He's just been absolutely terrible.
13 touchdowns, 13 picks, 3,300 yards, but that's the NFL this year. Yeah, really, you don't start getting excited until your quarterback throws for 4,000 yards. Like, that's where you're like, oh, yeah, right, this is great. Like, everybody throws for 3,000 yards, except Colin Kaepernick.
The Saturday game's the Welsh, and remember, everybody, you got to get those lineups set a day early because Christmas is on a Sunday, so most of the games for this week are happening on Saturday. We have the Thursday night game, two Sunday games, and a Monday night football game, but everything else is happening Saturday, so
good
make
advice.
Sure you check your rosters a day ahead
check
of time.
Check it twice. Make
check
sure
it
was
twice.
Naughty or nice.
We got Buffalo, or Miami at Buffalo. The spread is Buffalo by 3.5, and the over-under is 42. Cold game. This is that old Miami in December,
yep,
traveling up north. You don't want no pot of that game.
You don't want no pot. Can you believe they're 9-5? The Dolphins are 9-5. That's
the luckiest 9-5 ever.
That's amazing. Matt Moore. Yeah. So with the weather, I mean, you got to assume that they are going to have to run a lot of Jay Ajayi, and he's going to you're going to have a little bit of bad taste in your mouth. That Ajayi in your mouth is going to taste a little gross. Phrasing.
Phrasing.
I don't know if I would want to start, and I'm even talking Jarvis Landry and stuff, depending how this weather's going to be, I don't know if I'd want to start anybody but Jay Ajayi on the Dolphins.
I think I would still probably start Landry.
I don't know.
In most cases, because I don't think you're going to have someone else better than Landry. I think
you think if that weather gets nasty, there's going to be a whole lot of passing?
Well, that depends. Like, you're going to have to check in on the weather report because we're not meteorologists. We don't know if it's going to be snowing and windy and
have,
all that crap.
We do have an ITL weather reports on the GroupMe app. We do have ITL weather reports. Well, no, we have Mike. Yep, we got the weather reports. You're right. So I mean,
how about this? Since we're kind of looking over this stuff, New Orleans is at home against Tampa Bay this week. Would you rather start Jarvis Landry or Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas.
Would you rather start Jarvis Landry or Willie Snead?
That's kind of
the thing I'm thinking is most of the time you're going to have that middling, you know.
If it's just cold, if it's just like butt cold, like, okay, that's fine. But if it's not, if there's no snow, there's not crazy wind, but it's, you know, like 20 degrees or something like that, like, okay, you know, like, I'm fine with Jarvis Landry. But if there's massive wind, do you trust Matt Moore's arm? If there's snow, do you really trust that, you know, Jarvis Landry is going to break out? I don't know. The weather, you're right. You are right about this. The weather's important. Jay Ajayi, let's focus on that for a second. Is he a guaranteed play this week?
I don't think he's a guaranteed play because of how much Buffalo's defense improved from.
They give up 124 yards rushing a game.
Yeah, but look what they did to Crow last week.
No, I understand that. Both of these teams give up a lot rushing.
I think he's most likely a start if you own him, but he's not 100% a start. Most likely, I would say.
If you like had amazing options, yeah, maybe you're right about that. I think he's kind of a good-to-go guy. The Bills, on the other end, I actually kind of like Tyrod Taylor in this game because if there happen to be any weather issues, you know, move around inside the pocket. LeSean McCoy is a no-brainer every week. Is Mike Gillisley a flex option? He vultured again.
I think he's becoming one. I think he's a better flex option than Robert Turbin is most of the time, or Derrick Henry is most of the time. So I would say that, you know, just he keeps putting touchdowns up. He's got to be a flex option.
Okay. I think I'm with that. I mean, so it's Taylor, it's LeSean McCoy, Sammy Watkins. Do you put Sammy Watkins out? Nah. It's kind of the same Jarvis Landry question.
I would rather have Landry over Watkins. I think Watkins is a better player, but after having such a bad game against Cleveland in the weather, I don't think I'm going with him.
Okay.
I don't think I'm rolling them out.
I think I agree with you. All right, let's move down, Bogman. Jets at New England Patriots, the 12-2 Patriots versus the New York laughable Jets with Bryce Petty laughable.
The spread is 16.5.
Oh my God.
For New England.
What's over under?
43.5.
That's it. This is weather stuff. The East Coast getting pounded. We're over sitting here in like our shorts and like actually.
No,
because
Jacksonville is a low spread too. I mean, they're playing Tennessee.
Is it in Tennessee or is it in Jacksonville?
It's in Jacksonville.
Nah, that sounds south. Like I had a hoodie
Dallas
on.
And Detroit is in a dome, and that's 42.5. There's low overs. In fact, New Orleans and Tampa Bay and Oakland and Indy are by far the biggest.
Just seem like low spreads to me. Like 40.
They kind of are. I mean, I think all of your Patriots are pretty much starts this week, right?
Trying to think of who
Brady, 100%.
Yeah.
Martellus Bennett is definitely a start for me.
Yep. Edelman, you're going to start. If you're in the situation of like J.J. Nelson or Malcolm Mitchell or something like that, I might put Mitchell out this week. This is a good matchup, unless the weather's garbage. That's the holdup for me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's in New England. It's against the Jets. The one fear that I have for New England is that they get up by, you know, 35-0 or something ridiculous, because we just saw Miami put the boots on the Jets in New York. So this one is the Jets on the road with Bryce Petty. If they get up really big, really fast, we might see Jimmy Garoppolo in the second half of this
game. Might be something to look for Deion Lewis. Is Deion Lewis a flex for you this week? I think I'd consider unless you got a great option. I'm just assuming when we're talking about this.
I'd rather have the vulture. Would you rather have Deion Lewis or would you rather have Mike Gillisley?
PPR Lewis.
What about Derrick Henry?
Who's Tennessee play?
Jacksonville.
Oh, I might go Henry on that one.
Okay.
That's close. Like PPR. But to your point, though, if the game gets a little bit out of hand and LeGarrette Blount gets out of the game, you know, and they're going to run Deion Lewis out there a little bit, I don't know. I think he might be an option. There's like the thing here is, and you kind of nailed this, start your Patriots this week. Like,
right.
Like you, every Patriot is a viable option. The Jets, on the other hand, the quarterback is not an option. Would you rather start Robbie Anderson or Brandon Marshall this week? I think I'd rather start Robbie Anderson because stupid Bryce Petty's a quarterback.
You might be right, but I see those 11 targets, and I just think that Brandon Marshall has to be better. By the way, looking at the weather report for what they have right now, it's supposed to be 45 degrees with 9 to 13 mile hour winds. Not bad.
That's not bad.
That's
okay.
Pretty median day.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Okay, so Bilal Powell, Matt Forte. Because here's how I'll break it down. If Petty's the quarterback, I'm going to put Robbie Anderson in. If Fitzpatrick were to come in, I would put Marshall in. I just don't see if I have a better option. This has happened 2 straight weeks with Marshall, and I personally have owned him, and it's not working. And Bryce Petty, for whatever reason, it has a man crush, or you know, he owes something to Robbie Anderson, or you know,
I think it's probably just like a practice squad thing.
Yeah,
you know,
we talked about that before, exactly. But Bilal Powell or Matt Forte?
Powell. How can you trust Forte? You just can't. And they're going to get, well, I mean, this logic makes sense to most people, but apparently not to Todd Bowles. But I was going to say they're going to get behind. So you would think that Powell would be in more than Forte. But when they got up, Forte came in. So I don't know. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but I'm rolling with Powell from now on.
A lot of good fantasy options for the Patriots. And hope you don't have a whole bunch of Jets. I don't even like Bilal Powell that much this week because it's against the Patriots. He's okay. He'll get the workhorse stuff. But I don't know. What was the over-under on that?
42.5.
It'll be 42-0. 42-0. Bogman, next one. Tennessee Titans, 8-6 Tennessee Titans against 2-12 Jacksonville Jaguars, as you mentioned, in Jacksonville. What is our spread?
43.5. And the it's 4.5 Tennessee's favored, and 43.5 is the over-under.
Man, that seems like a good gambling game. This seems like a
take Tennessee by a lot.
You take Tennessee and the over, don't you?
I think so. Perfect conditions, too, by the way. 73 degrees, 8 mile an hour winds. So that's nothing. Tennessee is going to stomp Jacksonville in New Mud Hole. They're going through a coaching transition with Gus Bradley being gone. So who knows what's going to change over in Jacksonville.
They did say that. I think I read that. Was it Maroney? Was it Doug Marone? Yeah, Marone. Doug Marone is a candidate for the permanent job right now.
Right, and they're also thinking about reaching out to Tom Coughlin.
Oh, my God.
I mean, as long as it's not Jeff Fisher, right?
Whatever.
Tom Coughlin's just so old. Like, there's no way I'd want him to be my head coach. But it's Tennessee. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you got to start your guys.
Rashard Matthews,
DeMarco Murray, yep. Rashard Matthews. You got to roll these guys out.
It's the secondary guys that are more the thing. Like, okay, here's the two that I think are the semi questions, but I think we know the answers, and we've kind of already talked about it. Derrick Henry, is he an obvious flex for you?
I think he could be.
I think he's a pretty obvious flex because, like, this is one of those Tennessee gets up 21-0 by the half, and Derrick Henry starts the second half. And
Derrick Henry got a lot of run because this was on Thursday Night Football, this game before the one in Tennessee. It was on Thursday Night Football, and Derrick Henry got a lot of love because, you know, DeMarco Murray had some foot injury or something.
This is another game. This is a game where they should rest, and I think they could. An 8-6 Tennessee Titans team that's going into Jacksonville, you rest them. DeMarco Murray, for the most part, maybe let him play most of the first half. Derrick Henry gets a lot of the run. Love Mariota as a quarterback one this week,
yep.
and I like Derrick Henry. I might consider Derrick Henry as a running back too. Especially, I mean, if you're desperate, it's a no brainer. But okay, Derrick Henry or Bilal Powell?
Powell.
Yeah. I guess because he's the starter. I think it's close.
Just the sheer volume.
The problem is you're speculating with Henry where you're not with Powell. That's where the problem is.
Okay. What about Jaguars? I mean, obviously, hopefully no one's starting Blake Bortles. You can't start. You know, Allen Robinson is still the leading receiver for this team, right?
Well, Marquise Lee has 728 yards.
Oh, does he really? I guess 59 catches is what this
was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 54 catches for Marquise Lee, but 728 receiving yards for Marquise Lee.
How many touchdowns does Marquise
Lee have? Only two.
Yeah, Allen Robinson has 6 somehow. I don't know how that happened. You can't. I mean, the corners for Tennessee are terrible. They're not good. Jeremy Maclin just put up a bunch of yards on them.
Here's big advice. This is a hot take this week. Start Ty Montgomery over Marquise Lee.
Can you roll out Allen Robinson anymore this year? Yeah. I mean, can you even do it?
Okay, how about this? Robbie Anderson or Allen Robinson? That's what it's come to.
God. I think I'd rather go with Robbie Anderson. Just not starting Allen Robinson. I can't do it.
Okay, follow me here. Even though it didn't work out last week with the Rams, this seems like an opportunity where the Jags, they don't have a permanent head coach. Let it sling. Let it fly. Horrible secondary against Tennessee. I could see Bortles having one of those old school, like, you know, garbage time Bortles day. I could see Allen Robinson.
Well, this could just be one of those things where they come in and they say, hey, Blake, run the plays you like.
Yeah, throw to Allen Robinson. That's it. So I actually like Allen Robinson this week. No, I would start Allen Robinson. It's hard to put him on the bench. I would, just because of the namesake alone, I'm starting Allen Robinson this week. I don't know if I want to start Marquise Lee. Allen Hurns is dead to me, and I don't really want anybody else. Even Blake Bortles, for that matter. I just wouldn't do that. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, I don't want no part of that, and no running backs from Jacksonville ever.
No, ever again. Like, I don't think we'll ever do that. Vikings at the Packers, Bogman. What do you think? The Minnesota Vikings, who just got some mud stomped on them. Adrian Peterson is back. This is where this will be fun. 7-7 Vikings versus the 8-6 Green Bay Packers at home. Big Mike should be out there, and he better be rocking the ITL hoodie that he has. He's got the football, the freaking football shield hoodie. You better be rocking that out there during the game there, Mike. But let's start with the Packers, because I think there's more to talk about with the Vikings. Are you comfortable with everybody?
No. I mean, I'm not comfortable with, like, any of those wideouts.
Jordy Nelson? Devontae Adams?
I mean, I'm somewhat comfortable with them after the Vikings had such a poor showing last week.
What's the weather like there? What we didn't even do. What's the over-under, and what's the weather like?
All right, it's Green Bay by 6.5. The over-under is 43. The weather is 30 degrees so far. Low winds, 10 miles an hour.
Oh, man, that is prime Aaron Rodgers. I don't know.
They dropped
man.
So many passes last week in that cold. Like, if it gets much colder than that, I don't know, man. These guys dropping a lot of passes. I think you have to roll out Jordy if you have him 100%.
Okay, what about Devontae Adams?
Devontae Adams, I like too. I feel like you probably should start him, but I'm not super confident in Devontae Adams. You know, Jordy has 12 touchdowns, by the way.
He's amazing.
No big deal.
Yeah, everyone wrote him off. Dude, he has a legit shot. He gets 8 catches in his next 2 games. He would need 9 catches in his next 2 games apiece. He's going to have 100 receptions this year, coming off of that foot injury and his age and 12 touchdowns. He's awesome. Jordy Nelson, easy. Devontae Adams, probably.
Devontae Adams or Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas. I think this is a Michael Thomas week. Remember,
Devontae Adams or Doug Baldwin? Seattle's at Arizona. Or Arizona's at Seattle.
Doug Baldwin.
Okay. Devontae Adams or AJ Green coming off the injury?
Or Cincinnati?
At Houston.
AJ Green. I can't not play AJ Green.
I understand that.
Yeah. Okay. I think Adams has a role. If your decision is Brandon Marshall or Devontae Adams, I'm going Adams.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. But what about Ty Montgomery, though? Leading rusher, by the way, for the Packers. 390 yards, 60 carries, and 3 touchdowns. Can you trust Ty Montgomery? Kristen Michael broke out, had a touchdown. Montgomery was amazing last week. You don't trust Montgomery?
Not really. I mean, Minnesota's okay. I mean, I guess I trust him for volume of work, and there's guys I would start him over, but I really hope he's my RB2 and not my RB1.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could put him in the wide receiver slot. You know,
well, Ty Montgomery or Frank Gore. Frank Gore's at Oakland.
Frank Gore.
Yeah, see, this is the stuff I'm talking
Robbie
about.
Robbie Anderson or Ty Montgomery?
Ty Montgomery.
Okay. Brandon Marshall or Ty Montgomery?
Ty Montgomery.
I agree.
I think it's close. Like, I like Ty Montgomery. If you have him, most likely you're starting him. But there are other matchups that I like better than him.
Okay. The Minnesota Vikings. Let's not talk about Sam Bradford. Even though, by the way, only 4 interceptions all year. 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions for Sam Bradford.
Yeah,
he's efficient.
14 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's Alex Smith. He's efficient. let's start with the wide receivers, and then we'll go to the running backs. Adam Thielen put up a big old 0 for people, which is hilarious. Stephon Diggs, do you trust Diggs this week?
Because
I don't.
I trust him a little more just because I think Green Bay is going to get up. They're going to have to throw the ball. So
just, they don't do. I don't think Minnesota
gets catches. Like, you know, Diggs is Jordan Matthews. They're the same guy, right? So
that's true.
I think
Diggs or Jordan Matthews.
Diggs. If you're in PPR, he doesn't play on Thursday, so that's why I go with him. if you're in PPR, Diggs is a okay wide receiver 3, but if you're not, I really don't want to start him.
Devontae Adams or Stephon Diggs?
Adams.
Yep, me too. All right, the elephant in the room, Adrian Peterson, comes back. Jerry McKinnon. McKinnon actually put up a little bit of stats this week. Adrian Peterson was an epic disaster, and I even physically had this, and it would have cost me the championship matchup, by the way, if I would have done it. I had this last little, I had to text Bogman. I'm like, I got Tevin Coleman in over Adrian Peterson. I need to keep it that way, but I kind of want to start Peterson, and we worked through it and couldn't start him. He was awful. Fumble, looked bad. Minnesota didn't use him well. Can you trust Adrian Peterson in week 16?
No, I said that originally.
Is that because you're playing against me, who has Adrian Peterson in the championship?
I hope you start Adrian Peterson.
I don't like the matchup.
Please start Adrian Peterson.
Green Bay's defense has been pretty stout. Actually, they are. They give up under 100 yards rushing a game, I don't like it. I don't like Adrian Peterson unless I'm desperate. And if you are this league, I'm not desperate in. If you are in a desperate situation where you are trying to.
Well, let's do it again. Let's do Tevin Coleman at Carolina or Adrian Peterson at Green Bay.
Oh, man. Man.
But see, this is the argument you're making, is Tevin Coleman should be a RB2 in a deep league, or you've had a bunch of injuries and you're starting him.
Forte or Adrian Peterson?
Peterson. I have no idea what's happening with Forte, so I don't want to start him.
Okay, so I mean, that's a legit one.
Unless stupid Bowles comes out and says we're getting 15 carries from Matt Forte this week. I'll take 15 Forte carries over 15 Peterson carries right now. I would do that, but we just have no idea. I think I would rather start Kenneth Farrow against Cleveland than Adrian Peterson.
Really? Kenneth Farrow is disappointing. Okay, so he's not a running back two, you're saying.
No, is he a flex? He's like a deep league flex. Deep league flex.
Standard league, Adrian Peterson or Robbie Anderson?
Peterson.
Yeah, me too.
I hate Robbie Anderson.
There's still a
ugly. But that's ugly, man. Like, what about Moncrief or Peterson?
Moncrief with the injury stuff. I would
Cameron Bright. Let's say you have Jordan Reed or Greg Olsen or some good tight end, and you can start Cameron Bright.
Full point PPR?
Who's been awesome. Yeah, full point PPR versus Adrian Peterson.
I would start Bright. I really
now
would
standard.
I'd still start Bright, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just where we are with Peterson.
Yeah.
I
want to start him. I'm just telling people. I want to find a way to start him, but it's going to be hard. Like, your situation will dictate it. Feel free. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? A tweet. I don't believe he's a running back two this week. I could see why people would put him out here, but this is your championship. This will determine the hatred that's going to go for Adrian Peterson moving forward if people do put him out there. So, not a running back two. Maybe a flex.
I would just say to be happy that he's going to be back for next year if you want him. That's all.
Yeah. A little bit better situation for those people that do actually play week 17 for a championship. That actually might work out a little bit better for you.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. This is going to be a gross game. San Diego Chargers. San Diego versus the Cleveland Browns at home. Only two more chances for the Browns to not live in laughable infamy, though they always will. No matter what they do here, they'll always be laughable losers. What is the over under and the spread?
The spread is San Diego by 6, over under 43.5.
Wow, real by 6? Is there going to be weather? It's in Cleveland.
No, there's no weather. It's just San Diego's not good.
Okay.
It's 39 degrees, low winds, nothing crazy.
I guess I just would have figured it would have been a bigger San Diego spread. They're 0-14. All right, what do you want to start with, Chargers or Browns?
Start your Chargers, man. I mean, Farrow is a decent flex option or RB2 in a deeper league, I feel like, for this week. Phillip Rivers is a good start. Gates and Henry have both been good. Even Travis Benjamin put up some yards this week. Tyrell Williams is going to have a decent game, I think. I like starting most of my chart.
I really like Rivers. I like Williams. I'm with you with Farrow, but I'm also a little apprehensive. You know, what if this is that, like, everyone starts Farrow, and then guess what? It's Ronnie Hillman Day, and, you know, they decide Ronnie Hillman's going to be the guy that runs.
Yeah, I mean, Farrow had a fumble, too, so it wouldn't be super, super shocking to see something like that happen, but he did have 15-7 carries. He had two fumbles, actually, and he lost one. So I guess, you know, if Hillman got the carries, I would say start Hillman.
Yeah, well, I mean, so we're not going to know until the game, so you got to have to make that decision before.
Well, I mean, you may hear something during the week, is my point. The Welsh is not, you may hear a coach say, nah, we're going to roll out Hillman because Farrell has the fumbling problems. Or, you know, you may just say, oh, we're going to stick to this split or whatever. Or, you know, however it goes, if you hear something in the week, I would start San Diego's running back if there is a definitive one.
Okay, that's a good thing. Now, I think, do you agree with me that Phillip Rivers is a quarterback one this week?
He's been so bad. but with I mean, that come line, on, but it is Cleveland. So I'd say he has to at least be a borderline one. Yeah.
I mean, Philip Rivers or Blake Bortles?
Rivers.
Okay, how about Bortles. This one? Rivers or Eli Manning? I'm going Rivers.
Yeah, I'd go Rivers because I tell you what, if this Giants Philly game was on a Saturday or Sunday instead of Thursday, I'd go with Eli, but I'll take Philip.
So how about the inverse of this, where I actually think a lot of the Browns are starters this week too, because the Chargers aren't any better. The Chargers are sucky as well, though they are pretty good against the run, which will be interesting to see what happens with Isaiah Crowell. But the Chargers actually give up more passing yards than the Browns do. That's quite the
feat. I can't start any Browns.
You can't start any. I don't know, man. I could start. I think I could
Terrell
get down. Terrell
Pryor's
got the
finger thing.
Okay.
Crowell was awful last week against Buffalo. I don't think I want to leave my championship up in the freaking Crowell's hands. Gary Barnage has been bad this year. Obviously, yeah, you're not starting RG3.
Yeah, poopy Barnage. But, like, I would start Crowell unless you have an awesome option behind it. Would you start Bilal Powell or Isaiah Crowell?
Powell.
I think I might start Crowell.
Well, I think I'd start Peterson over Crowell.
Full point PPR, I can't not start Powell. You'd start Peterson over Crowell?
I think so, dude. I'm not into Crowell. Crowell's so boom or bust, though. He has those big games, and then he has those horrible games.
This is a good time for him to
have a good
game. He
has 700 yards rushing. I mean, his game log is 28, 113, 44, 10, 23, 4, 29, 63, 16, 22.
I get you.
He's had a decent year receiving. I mean, he has some decent games. He had one game with 63 yards receiving.
I'm not as afraid to put him out. I'll tell you, though.
28 yards last week total.
Yeah, it's gross. It's San Diego, though. I might be in agreement with the Terrell Pryor, but you know who I like putting out this week? I like putting out Corey Coleman. That's the one I think I like putting out here because the San Diego secondary is just, you know, they've lost so many of the corners. I know Corey Coleman, but it's all relative.
I love Corey Coleman, dude. I think he's a great wide receiver and everything, but it's RG3 throwing to him. RG3 has no passing touchdowns.
Well, no, you're right about that. Two weeks ago against Cincinnati, had 11 targets, only caught 3 balls, and last week he only had 4 targets. I think the targets could go up
Brandon
a little
Marshall
bit.
Or Corey Coleman?
If Bryce Petty is quarterback, I'm going to go Coleman.
I still go with Marshall, regardless.
Nah, I can't. Especially if it's like PPR. I think Coleman could. I think we could see a 6 to 7 catch Coleman day this week.
I mean, I hope so. I hope you're right. I just don't see it. I just don't see it happening.
Okay, it's a pretty gross matchup. I mean, in general, like if your playoff hopes are down to that sucks.
All right. Well, we're gonna be right back with more game matchups right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go away. Keep listening.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Redskins, Bears. What do you think? 7-5 Redskins to the 3-11 Chicago Bears.
The spread on this one is Washington by 3.5. I think I like rolling out the Redskins, man. I want sure. Kirk Cousins. I want Jamison Crowder. I like Rob Kelly. You know, I like these. I like these guys. Chicago is pretty decent against the pass, and you know, Chicago gets pretty damn cold this time of year. It's supposed to be right there freezing in 33 degrees, so it's going to be a cold one. But I think I like rolling out most of my Redskins as I normally would.
Yeah, I don't see why I wouldn't. Alshon Jeffrey came back, 9 targets, 6 catches, 89 yards and a touchdown, right back at it. He's a high-end wide receiver too, right?
I think so. Yeah, Matt Barkley, I mean, he's not good, but his yards aren't horrible.
Matt Barkley or Blake Bortles?
Oh, Barkley.
Matt Moore or Matt Barkley?
Matt Moore.
Okay, I was just seeing where we were at with that. As far as the Bears go, I mean, you shouldn't have to start Barkley. You start Jordan Howard.
I like Jordan Howard, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you should know you're starting Jordan Howard is what I mean. Alshon Jeffrey, I think, is a no-brainer. Cam Meredith, he had 100 yards last week. Would you start Cam Meredith? Is he a wide receiver 3 or flex?
I just don't know how you can trust him, you know. I Cameron Meredith has been better. I don't know, though, like... Would you rather roll out Cameron Meredith or Jordan Matthews?
Jordan Matthews. Yeah, I know where you're going with that. Jordan Matthews.
What about Diggs, you know, or Cameron Meredith? That's kind of where you're at with those guys. And Meredith did, you know, he had a 100-yard game last week. He was good.
I might go Meredith there. I know I'm just super down on Diggs.
I just don't have faith in him. I just can't.
Okay.
You know, I can't debt.
Not gonna debt. Wouldn't be prudent. Let's go down to the Atlanta Falcons versus the Carolina Panthers. Panthers all but done. Falcons, I mean, I think they might have some stupid little shots still. I think I read whatever. But the Falcons, 9-5. High-powered offense coming off of a 49ers defense. Though Carolina's defense hasn't been much better. They give up 90 yards rushing. So they're not giving up the rushing yards, but they give up all the passing yards, 289. The Panthers are worse than the Falcons on pass defense this year. Let us start with...
And that just changed because Atlanta was dead last week, and now Carolina is.
Now it's Carolina, so Falcons. Even though Carolina is still good against the run, you're starting Devontae Freeman. We're starting Matt Ryan. Julio Jones looks like he's going to be a go this week.
Please. Please, God, be a go.
Do you... Okay, here's the two questions. We've kind of hit on this. Tevin Coleman, a flex, and can you start any other wide receiver for Atlanta?
I think you can start Taylor Gabriel if Julio doesn't go.
And is Gabriel... Gabriel was hurt last week. Is he going to be good to go?
I haven't seen anything about how he's not, so I'm going to assume he's decent to roll out.
Yeah, I mean, I love him every week, so...
You know what? If Gabriel and Julio are out, start Aldrick Robinson, because Matt Ryan's passing that ball to somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
And Aldrick Robinson had 100 yards last week, so...
Yeah, I'm with you. It looks like he might be good to go. I would start Gabriel as... Would you call him a wide receiver 3?
Yeah, I would say he's a 3.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I'm with you. We start Julio. Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman is flexy. I don't like it. I think I'm looking for a different option if I possibly can. But, you know, it's not dangerous. He is a vulture still. I mean, what about you, the Welsh? Would you rather roll out Tevin Coleman or Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry.
Tevin Coleman or Deion Lewis?
Tevin Coleman. That one's real tough.
Tevin Coleman or Mike Gillisley?
Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman or Isaiah Crowell?
Isaiah Crowell.
Okay. I think I'm with you. You roll out Tevin in certain situations. You pee on his face in a urinal, of course, like we learned from I Love You, Man. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, he's just an okay start this week, because I think Atlanta could be slinging the ball a lot to those. Like, I really like the wide receivers against Carolina. They just lost so much with Josh Norman.
This is a great game. Do we have a spread on this game? We don't have a spread on this game yet,
no.
as we're recording this. But on the opposite end, why would you not like all the Panthers? I mean, I know the defense for Atlanta's been playing a tiny bit better, but they give up all the passing yards as well. They also give up a lot of rushing yards. I think Cam Newton's a great play this week, even though he hasn't been all season. The question, and Greg Olsen's an obvious, the question marks are twofold. Jonathan Stewart, how much do we like him? And Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin,
Great matchup.
Yeah, I think I want to roll out Kelvin if I can. But if I can't, that's also okay. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here.
No, I know what you're saying.
I'm squirming for this answer, man.
Low-end wide receiver 2 this week.
Low-end wide receiver 2.
Easy wide receiver 3. Like, if you're starting 3 wide receivers, you're starting him this week.
Would you put him ahead of Taylor Gabriel? Because if Julio would, if Julio's not playing, I'd put Gabriel over
easy.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Easy if Julio didn't play and it was Gabriel. Easy Gabriel over Benjamin. If I would say I'm going to start Benjamin over Gabriel if Julio plays, because like you said, Aldrick Robinson has kind of, you know, he's kind of jumped up. Mohamed Sanu is back. I still like Taylor Gabriel a lot, but I think he was playing a lot of that Julio role, and I think Julio's going to play. So I'm going to go Benjamin over Gabriel.
I think I'm going to go with Gabriel. He's just been too consistent. He's getting in the end zone. So
it's a good matchup. This is a good matchup game to be playing in. So if you've got your players there, most likely than not, it's going to be play start those guys. Indianapolis Colts versus the Oakland Raiders.
All right. The spread on this one is Oakland by 4, Indy by 53. I mean, just start your Raiders and your Colts, right? I mean...
Yeah, I don't
seems
see
who, fairly easy.
Yeah, outside of like the fringy, like a Dante Moncrief, or I'm not doing like a Philip Dorsett, like both running backs, even though Washington came in and screwed up Latavius Murray a little bit, it doesn't matter. Love Murray, love Gore. I like both quarterbacks in this matchup, and I like the stud receivers. This is a pretty easy game to...
Yeah, I mean, Cooper was disappointing last week, but you got to think he's going to make it up against Indy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That game's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's an easy game. I think this game actually might be pretty easy as well. Tampa Bay going into New Orleans, we've kind of been teasing at this one. What's this one look like?
It's New Orleans by 3, and the spread is 52.5, second biggest spread.
Oh, baby.
Same thing, I think, with the Indy and Oakland game. This New Orleans-Tampa Bay game is start your Saints, start your Bucks.
Yeah, the only thing is the running backs, though. Your Bucks,
Ingram,
you start.
Well, Ingram had a problem with being vulture. I don't know if you saw him screaming at Sean Payton, by the way, because Tim Hightower took in 2 of his touchdowns. He did all the hard work. And
Hightower with the Cardinals. That was why people forget about that. Hightower had this real big thing against playing against the Cardinals this week. So,
right, which is, you know, Ingram, you need to grow up.
Yeah, grow up.
Tampa Bay, Charles Sims has been okay. I don't think I'm rolling him out there.
It's Doug Martin.
Doug Martin's fine against New Orleans. I love it.
Yeah, I like it too. I like it too. But what about on the inverse? Like, are you comfortable with Ingram?
I'm comfortable with Ingram against Tampa Bay. There's a lot of bad matchups this week. So I think, Ingram going up against Tampa Bay makes me more comfortable because of the bad matchups we have this week.
And as we've said, I love Michael Thomas this week. I think this is a big Michael Thomas week with Cooks have gone off. I think the ball could move a little bit his way. I'm all in on Michael Thomas this week. I still like Cooks as well. Tampa Bay, I like Brate. So, yeah, this is a start both. Really like Brate, this game.
Evans. Yeah, absolutely. The Niners and the Rams, Niners going into LA. If the Rams are favored by 3 somehow over your Niners, I think the Niners win this game outright.
Oh,
I don't
God,
think
I
I'm
hope
starting.
Not.
I don't think I'm starting anybody in this game.
I would start Carlos Hyde. God, this is the Todd
That's
Gurley
tough,
game, Bogman.
Though,
this is the Todd Gurley game.
Rawls was
I'm
Todd
starting
Gurley
both. I'm starting both running backs. Easy.
I don't think Hyde is an easy start. Rawls had a tough game against the Rams, but I think if you have Hyde, you probably don't have many options. Like we said, there's not much to go on this week. So
I'm sorry, both running backs, everybody else is blah. Even though Kaepernick, by the way, 13 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, he's doing what Sam Bradford does, but everyone hates him, so no one talks about it. How about, so that's a running back only, really. I wouldn't play too much.
Yeah,
on. Maybe Kenny Britt. Maybe.
Right. Yeah, we're on the same page there. Maybe Kenny Britt, but it's going to be an ugly
game. How about Arizona Cardinals, 5-8 Arizona Cardinals, or 5-8-1, against the 9-4-1 Seattle Seahawks?
Dude, this one sucks because David Johnson has to go into Seattle and play against the Seahawks. Seahawks are favored by 9 over the Cardinals. The spread is only 43.5. I don't know. I think, obviously you start David Johnson if you have him. He's put up 100 yards combined in every game this year, 14 straight games. So you would assume he's going to have, but you're not going to be surprised if he doesn't have that against Seattle on the road. If he's going to miss it one game, it's this game. And unfortunately, it happens in your championship.
Unless you have Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell, you're going to start David Johnson. You're going to start him. But the big question marks are, how about with the quarterbacks? I think we both agree.
I think
Russ
Wilson,
you can start.
Yeah, you can start. I don't want any part of Carson Palmer.
Agreed with that. How about on the wide receivers?
J.J. Nelson.
Larry?
No. Man. No. He hasn't been good, and he fumbled. J.J. Nelson is like my one guy for Arizona. I'm more than fine starting Doug Baldwin this week. Tyler Lockett is a decent flex because Tyler Lockett seems to me like he was hurt the whole year, right?
Yep.
And now he's kind of getting into what he does. So I think he's going to be a dangerous weapon moving forward and into the playoffs. So I think I like Tyler Lockett as a flex also.
Okay, I like that one. Cincinnati Bengals going into the 8-6 Houston Texans. That's amazing. the new Tom Savage. Ooh, yeah, dig it, brother.
You can start Hopkins now.
Macho Man Tom Savage, dig it.
Ooh, yeah, dig it.
Yeah,
right. You know, I think you got to roll out Miller. Yeah. I think you got to roll out DeAndre Hopkins now with Tom Savage. I think whoever the tight end for the Texans is, you roll out because Ryan Griffin had an awesome game with Fardoe, which hurt.
Do you like Will Fuller in this game? The Cincinnati Bengals give up 252 yards passing a game.
I just don't like Will Fuller.
Okay.
So
what did he do to you?
No. He dropped a bunch of balls and hasn't caught many passes. So, no. I like Will Fuller, but I don't know with Tom Savage if Will Fuller is going to be a great option. That's all.
So we like Macho Man. Okay, Macho Man Tom Savage. Would you start him over Blake Bortles?
Yeah, I would.
I think I would, too.
I start anybody over Blake Bortles.
That's weird.
I start Matt Moore. I start the Welsh over Blake Bortles. I start all of them.
I'd be great.
The Bengals side is more difficult because we have A.J. Green possibly coming back from an injury. But if he's hurt, you said before, you roll him out, right?
Yeah, I'm going to put him out. I don't see how I don't play him. It's championship time. I'm putting A.J. Green out. If he were to, like, not go, boy, I don't know. I mean, maybe Brandon LaFell, but let's just focus on A.J. Green here. If A.J. Green plays, I don't want any of those other guys. Right. Eifert's a no-brainer. I think Jeremy Hill's a no-brainer, obviously.
Not a chance. He's banged up. He's banged up, and the reason the Texans are 8-6 is that defense. Texans defense is pretty strong.
No, they
man.
Are. Even, they give up 100 yards rushing.
J.J. Watt, but I don't know. Another thing, he also ripped that terrible towel down the Welsh.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, I forgot you're biased.
Well, there's a curse. So
there is.
There is a curse.
No,
you can go on our group, me, and read it. You will be amazed.
Who else has been cursed?
How about the Titans ripped that down and lost 8 straight afterwards?
It's like the Madden 8 curse, straight. But the terrible towel curse.
Exactly. You saw T.J. Houshmandzadeh went ahead and wiped his feet with the terrible towel after the Bengals.
We know how that went the rest of his career.
Yeah, exactly. That was not only the rest of his career, but in that playoff at home in the jungle, Cincinnati favored by a lot.
Wow.
That's the one where Carson Palmer got rolled up on, and then the Steelers won, and then they went on to win Super Bowl 40.
Okay, so
that's the one where Chad Johnson was like, if Carson ain't hurt, I got a ring on this finger, or whatever you say, pal.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Even I saw even the Penguins. Somebody against the Penguins grabbed the terrible towel, and like the mascot did is, you know, wipe his armpits with it and stuff. And the Penguins scored 2 goals in the last 6 minutes of the game and won in overtime. And it had never been done before on the road.
First. So, okay. All right. Well, we'll see.
I'm still starting
Jeremy Hill out there, but we'll
I mean,
we'll
it's great logic, goes. Isn't it? Because of curse.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. No. I know. It clearly is. Speaking of which, let's go to your team. Ravens, Steelers, lot on the line here. Playoff implications all over the board. What do you think about this game?
I think you start your guys. Antonio Brown had a big game against Baltimore last time they played, even though Baltimore won.
Well, we're not worried about Brown and Bell. Those are like obvious, but like
Brown, Bell, yeah.
Roethlisberger, you're good?
Yeah, I'm good at home.
Me too. Okay, yeah, me too at home. What about Eli Rogers?
Smith. I like Eli. No, like Eli is a once in a while game type of guy. Eli Rogers is the Isaiah Crowell of wide receivers.
Isaiah Crowell has been. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay, a Ravens side. Flacco, Dixon, Smith. Those are your big dogs. You starting?
I'm not big on Flacco this week. Pittsburgh's defense has been better. I think a lot depends on if Stephon Tua plays, putting pressure.
You guys give up 260 yards passing a game. I might start Flacco if I don't have another option.
That's because Pittsburgh's up most games.
Well,
so
still, garbage time. The rushing is more of the problem. Both of these teams are stout on the rush. I don't like Kenneth Dixon this week at all.
No, I don't like Dixon or West.
No.
I like Steve Smith. I like Mike Wallace a lot better in this game. He had that big 90
revenge
touchdown.
Game.
Yeah, and it's in Pittsburgh. He likes to get revenge. And the tight end's fine. I mean, it's not. I would rather roll out somebody else if I could.
Every single time I put on a Steeler game, I'm not even joking. Every time I put on a Steeler game, the first thing that happens when I turn it on, it goes, oh, drop pass, Jesse James. He should have had that. I swear to God. Every time I put on a Steeler game, that's the thing I fantasy. He by that only, small sample size, he's the worst.
Well, he's like, Ben got mad at him because Ben overthrew him last week, and they're like, ah, Jesse should have had that. And it's like, okay, well, he's tall, but he's not 7 feet tall, and yeah, he's white. He doesn't have much jump game. You kind of have to put it on him.
All right. So last two games here, Broncos at the Chiefs. Jesus, this is the defensive of defensive game.
This is what I'm talking about, man. Nice. Like, it's tough. And you know, Spencer Ware's been bad. Can you trust Tyreek Hill? You know, by the way, Tyreek Hill, one touch, 68 yards and a score last week. Why would you not give that guy 15 touches a game?
Beyond me. How the Chiefs are 10-4 doing that. I totally agree. Tyreek Hill is so freaking explosive. Bogman, here's the better question. Who are you comfortable starting out of all this? Like, Travis Kelce, you gotta. I don't know if I'm good with Spencer Ware. I don't know if I'm good with Tyreek Hill. And on the Broncos side, I don't know who I'm good with.
I'm fine with Tyreek Hill because it doesn't matter who he plays against. He puts one in the end zone, it seems like, every single week. So, and they have to make a more concerted effort to get him the ball. On the Denver side, I love starting Demaryius Thomas this week.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, the Chiefs do give up 262. Chiefs, actually, the yards allowed they give up is kind of on the high end. It's amazing what they've done this season. 262 passing, 124 rushing. So yeah, they can
I'm
be
not
broken.
Messing with Booker or Forsett, though, because I don't want any part of the middle of that.
Me either.
But DT and Emmanuel Sanders, I'm fine rolling out. Simeon's been bad, but I don't know. I'm okay running them out there. That's it. I don't want to start Simeon. I don't want to start the running backs. I want to start any, Denver tight end.
I was desperate for Ware. Like, Ware or Deion Lewis?
Ware, just because I know he's going to have work.
Bilal Powell or Spencer Ware?
Powell. By a lot.
I might put, really? I think I put Ware.
Where's been so bad?
No, I know. I don't know. That one's tough.
Ware just keeps, like, he just keeps letting you down every single week. It was 70 yards, and I guess 95 yards wasn't bad. 56 yards the week before, 29 yards, but he had a score, 64 yards. Like, he is a flex or a deep league RB2.
Yeah.
But other than that, I have no
faith. You probably have a better option in 12, man. Last game, 9-5 Detroit Lions at the 12-2 Dallas Cowboys. What do you think?
Start your Cowboys.
Yep.
You want Zeke, you want Dez, you want Beasley,
you want Witten.
You want all those guys. Detroit, I think I'm kind of on the same way. You know, maybe not a running back unless Theo Riddick is back this week, but I want to start Golden Tate. I like starting Matt Stafford. Ebron's fine.
Cowboys give up 276 yards passing. That's really on the high end.
Yeah, it's another one of those like Pittsburgh, where they're up most of the time.
Mike Wallace or Marvin Jones?
Mike Wallace.
I'm going to go Marvin Jones.
That's tough because I think...
Close.
Yeah, it is, because I think Mike Wallace does it on one catch. You know what I mean? Like,
I can see 70 that,
yard
totally.
Bomb for a touchdown, and Marvin Jones could dink and dunk you to death for 75.
I like Tate. I like Jones. If Riddick is playing, I like him. I like Stafford a decent amount in this game, and I still like Dak, even though people are getting weird about it. All right, there you go. There's your look at week 16. Go get that ship. Bring it home, baby. It's not over, though, because fantasy sports aren't over. They say the dog days. It's not the dog days because you got fantasy basketball. We've got an entire hour of coverage for you coming up. It's Ethan Noroff, Roto World. He's going to be joining us. We'll be talking about Blake Griffin, the injury. Talk about Nerlens Noel, Mike Conley, all of it. It's all coming up. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go anywhere for hour two. Be right back.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, welcome back. It's hour two of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Always glad to be here. Jeez, holidays. Right here. Like, they're here.
Right there.
Like, the shopping.
Right there. Look, you can see them.
Yeah.
They're there.
Why are you here? Go away. And they're going to go away. It's like, the buildup, there's nothing worse than shopping in the holiday season. Is there?
I don't know, because I don't do it. I go to Amazon. I go to InThisLeague.com, the Welsh. I click on the Amazon banner, and I go buy stuff on Amazon. There is no way I'm going out amongst the animals.
That kid is back on the escalator again.
to buy all the stuff. No way.
It's the worst thing ever. I can't do it.
I haven't seen too many of those videos of people like murdering each other to buy a television.
It's because Amazon.
Or, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Amazon's probably the best thing that's happened to our country.
I think.
They're sending out drones. It's going to be like
Skynet.
It's good
and it's bad because like I feel like people's laziness has overtaken their want for cheap things.
Oh, sure.
I've always been there.
We're three steps away from idiocracy. Like, we've already got the, like, wrestling president. Like, we're so close.
Go away, Baton.
Yep. We just need, like, 200 more years, and, like, Taco Bell's and Costco's are, like, the big thing, and we're feeding all our plants Gatorade. We're so close. It's going to happen. Upgrade with a double D. We got fantasy basketball stuff coming up here with Ethan Noroff, one of our dudes over at Roto World. He's been covering that for a long time. The Blake Griffin stuff. Okay, so we're going to cover the Blake Griffin stuff with him, but I want to give an acknowledgement on the other end of this because screw Blake Griffin and his injuries and third straight year of missing 15 games or more. This will be the third straight year that's going to happen. But on the inverse, how about the man that has arisen like Jesus in Christmas, like on his birthday, Mike Conley, just coming back from being dead. He missed 9 games, and he's already
playing again. 9 games with a broken back.
Beautiful 5-pound, 2-ounce, beautiful baby Conley Jesus.
I can't believe he came back. I mean, he has arisen from the dead. We thought, okay, broken back. They say 4 to 8 weeks, right? Okay, so then how long?
It took Batman longer to come back from Bane breaking his back. Mike Conley broke his back, and he was back at it. Christian Bale needs to take some cues from Mike Conley.
Right, and Mike Conley doesn't even have all that neat stuff, you know?
Hello,
and
Mike Conley. Also
he doesn't have this man to inspire him. Hello, Mike Conley. If you don't come back, I will burn the grindhouse to the ground.
Get out of here, Bane. Mike Conley to the rescue.
I'm Mike Conley, and my voice is ridiculous.
Mike Conley's amazing. I can't believe he's already back. I loved him coming into the season. He was doing great, even though his face bothered me. And then he got hurt, and he's back. He's the anti-Blake Griffin. Like, he's a freak.
I don't know what else to say about him. Mike Conley or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Mike Conley.
Mike Conley or chocolate chip cookies?
That's tough. That's a hard one.
Yeah, see, I hit you.
If Mike Conley had chocolate chip cookies, things would be great. Bogman, it's the reason for the season. It's Mike Conley. That's what it is. We all need to put our fantasy prayers into Conley. Mike Conley. So it's got gross, actually. The whole segment's gotten gross. Well, Mike Conley, he's a guy that you should be looking for. Blake Griffin on the way out because he sucks and he always gets hurt. And he's Giancarlo Stanton of fantasy basketball. And I'm over it. He's essentially stolen Chris Paul's soul. And he is Chris Paul of 3 years ago where he couldn't stay healthy. But we got a whole bunch of coverage. Maybe not quite that. We'll try to be more appropriate with Ethan Noroff. But Ethan Noroff from Roto World, coming on. We're going to talk about Nerlens Noel, what we can do with him in this really gross, messy situation. There's a whole bunch to talk about with Blake Griffin and a bunch of really great performances. We want to see how real they are. So don't go anywhere. Other side of this break, it's Ethan Noroff from Roto World. Glad to be talking some fantasy basketball. You know you're going to need it. Fantasy baseball is right around the corner as well. So InThisLeague.com, that's a place where you can find all of our shows in their entirety. As well, we have a fantasy baseball prospect podcast that I host, and Bogman has a fantasy football draft prospect podcast that just started up, and you can find them all at InThisLeague.com. You can subscribe to them, get them on the go wherever you go, and don't miss a minute of it. Ethan Noroff coming up right after this break, so don't go anywhere. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, gentlemen, week 9, the week right before Christmas, which is actually one of the things I always look forward to is the Christmas games or whatever. You know, usually I don't get to, like, really partake in a lot of the sports because I got kids and stuff, and Thanksgiving is a whole thing. But Christmas, that's the one. That's the daddy day. I get to sit down, and I get to watch a whole bunch of games. We get some of those this week, and we get to cover fantasy basketball with one of the great guys, Ethan Noroff from RotoWorld. We've had him on every single year that we have been doing this thing. Ethan, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Happy to be back, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What do you got going on for Christmas? You're out in L.A., so you experience Christmas like we do, where we just
There's no snow.
Yeah, we look at all the people that are like 20 degrees, and they're just like freezing, and we're just like wearing shorts, drinking margaritas out on our porch, and just enjoying like 50 to 70 degrees.
Yeah, it sounds about right to me. You know, in terms of Christmas, it actually lines up well this year. Hanukkah, Christmas, right about the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll do a little celebrating with that. Have a little Chinese food, because what would Christmas be without Chinese food?
Agreed.
Somebody who grew up Jewish, you know what I mean? I mean, it is what it is. And just enjoying the holiday season, man. That's about it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. That's always my favorite thing. I've never been I'm not a big religious guy. I'm not even a big necessarily Christmas guy, but I'm definitely you want to know what Bogman knows this. I've spent Christmases like at the casino, because I'm like, hey, what better way that I could think than drink and gamble on Christmas? what a better American way to treat Christmas than, hey, Chinese food, gambling, watching sports. It's right up my alley.
That sounds like an ideal any day of the week for me.
Yeah, great day. Great day in general.
Well, geez, let's go down to L.A. Ethan, we're gonna come down to L.A. We're gonna grab you. We're all gonna go down to Commerce. We're gonna have a little bit of gambling. We're gonna have some fun. This is now how Christmas is going down.
That works for me, man. You guys are more than welcome anytime.
All right. Well, you can find Ethan over at Roto World. All the great content. All of our great boys. You know, it's Gallagher, it's Steve, it's Nader, it's Noroff. They are doing the fantasy basketball game harder than anybody else does it. And we're excited to have Ethan back here. What do you got going on over at Roto World right now?
Oh, man, you know, we just published a little specialist column on today. You can check that out. The specialist runs every Monday. Talk guys who contribute in specific categories, whether they're worth targeting off the waiver wire and trades, how they can help your team, stuff like that. Got a lot of season pass content this year. So for those subscribers to season pass, there's a whole bunch of good stuff, news, nuggets, resources, everything like that in there. And then new to the stable this year is we got a weekly mailbag that actually drops every Saturday. So anytime anyone has those questions, you know, should I pick up this guy or that guy, or what do you think of this trade? Those are the kinds of questions that usually find their way into there, and I can give a more extended analysis than I can provide, you know, in 140 characters or fewer on Twitter.
All right, well, check him out on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. Let's get right into this, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that's kind of been going down, injury related for the most part, especially as Monday was, everyone was woken up to this awesome news, or I guess it was Sunday night. Blake Griffin, now out 3 to 6 weeks. To me, he's starting to become, we always use this analogy, he's becoming like the Giancarlo Stanton of basketball. But another thing kind of popped up to me. Do you think Blake Griffin is now what Chris Paul used to be? Remember, Chris Paul was the guy we couldn't trust. You just accept you're going to get 60 games out of him at any given point. It seems like we're kind of getting the same thing from Blake Griffin. Maybe they're just oddities, but he's having this quote-unquote minor procedure, 3 to 6 weeks. What do you think about Blake Griffin? Is that how you're going to treat him moving forward? And I want to talk about replacement value as well.
Yeah, man, it's tough. I mean, look, Blake was having a really, really good year prior to this most recent setback. You know, 21 points, 9 boards, right about 5 assists. I mean, shooting 48% from the field. So actually, you know, in terms of comparisons to last year, he's basically right where he was last year statistically. Of course, last year we barely got anything out of him between the quad and the hand, you know, 35 regular season games played. But, you know, with Blake, the thing that I worry about more than anything moving forward is a long-term concern now, because, you know, this is a guy who's probably going to need some maintenance. Days. This is a guy whose game is predicated off of athleticism, and he's not getting any younger. Not that he's old by any stretch, but he's certainly not getting any younger. And now we're talking about surgeries to both knees. And I know this latest one is arthroscopic. You know, it's a minor procedure. I know Russell Westbrook is still a freak athlete after having 3 knee surgeries, but, you know, he's a cyborg, and Blake Griffin is not quite at that level. So, you know, this is tough. I mean, if you're drafting Blake Griffin, you know, I don't think you drafted Blake Griffin this year with the expectation that he was going to play in all 82 anyway. I mean, he hasn't played, you know, last time he played 80 games in a season was 2013-14. So this is a guy who's going to contribute for parts of your season. And, you know, I know a lot of people are being optimistic, saying, okay, arthroscopic surgery, 3 weeks, you know, he'll be back. But 3 to 6 week timetable doesn't necessarily mean that's when he's going to return. You know, maybe he resumes activities during some point during that timetable. Maybe he had, you know, what if he has a setback? What
They're
if
not
he
all can- Mike Conley. Not all these guys can be Mike Conley.
Right, you know. And
you have to kind of see the 6 weeks and say that's when he's going to be back to full Blake Griffin, right, at best.
Right, and if you're talking 6 weeks from, you know, today or tomorrow, he's having a surgery on Tuesday. So if we're talking 6 weeks from then, you know, we're talking beginning of February, mid-February. So this is a pretty extended stretch of time that Griffin's not going to be on the floor. The Clippers as a team, I think, will be able to survive the injury. You know, five of their next 19 games are against teams with records of at least 500 or better. So that's a pretty favorable schedule. Their bench is better than it was last year, even though they don't really have a plug-and-play guy for Blake Griffin in the starting lineup at the four. You'll see a lot of Austin Rivers, some Raymond Felton, you know, Money Maurice Spates, he'll be in there. But there's not a clear guy who's going to come and say, okay, we can start this guy at power forward. Fantasy teams, you know, you just kind of bite the bullet on this one. You know, you're not going to drop Griffin. You're going to stash him on injured reserve if you got an injured reserve spot. If you don't have that injured reserve spot, your choice gets a little bit tougher. But, I mean, this is a guy you can't drop outright right now until we get at least a little bit more information. And I wouldn't drop him outright, period.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can either. And, okay, so if you were going to pick up a replacement with the Clippers, because I have made a move in multiple leagues that I didn't own Griffin, though I got one stupid league, of course, I traded for Griffin like right at the beginning of the season, and now I'm sitting on this, but I was able to get
I love the hate. I love that you hate Griffin now.
Well, I hate
it's
him
my
I'm
favorite
done.
Thing.
I'm over it. Because, you know, Bogman hates Oklahoma Sooners, and he is, so the
I'm
hatred.
A Texas fan.
Yeah, you're a Texas fan. But the guy I was picking up was Maurice Spates, and in short minute intervals, he's been pretty good, 14-4, 8-6, 8-6, but he had 25 minutes on December 10th. I believe Griffin was out that game, 17-12-4. If you had to put your hat on a Clippers player to pick up, is it Spates? Is it Rivers? Is it Paul Pierce? No, let's not even worry about position. Let's just think about, like, you know, statistical
overall
replacement.
Production.
Yeah, statistical
right.
replacement.
Hey, man, if this was 10 years ago, maybe I'd be picking up Paul Pierce. But since 2016, about 2017, around the corner, I'm not touching Paul Pierce even in 20-team leagues. I mean, this is a guy who is really going to give you next to nothing. He's not playing big minutes now. Doc Rivers is putting him in shrink wrap until the playoffs, you know, until he can hit those big shots, at least theoretically. You know, I like Maurice Spates. His permanent production is there. I'm not convinced that his playing time is going to rise that dramatically with Blake Griffin's absence. I do think he's still going to be a big part of that second unit. I'm looking, you know, you got guys like Wesley Johnson who probably gets more time. Raymond Felton probably gets more minutes in three-guard lineups. But if you look at Austin Rivers, man, his last five games, he's 28.5 minutes, 28.5 minutes, 38 minutes, 33.5 minutes, 25.5 minutes. I mean, this is a guy who appears to be, you know, the next in line in terms of playing time on the rise. Am I going out and running out and adding Austin Rivers to my fantasy team? No, and I don't think anyone really is. But, you know, there's not a guy on the Clippers roster who's going to give you what Blake Griffin brought to your team. Rivers is going to give you some points. He's going to give you some threes when he's on, maybe a steal or two, but he's not going to bring much else. And that's a vastly different player than what Griffin brings to the table. So, you know, in terms of playing time, I think Austin Rivers stands to benefit. Spates also stands to benefit, although I don't think as dramatically as some people might think. In terms of statistical production, man, it's a tough one. And anyone who has Blake Griffin on the roster, you know, I got him in one league. You're probably looking at making a trade in order to rebalance the swing of things here.
I was going to say you could have just avoided him if you had listened to what I said at the beginning of the year.
You're so hateful. But you're so hateful.
Yeah,
on the Sooner.
I'm hateful, but I tell you what, there is one guy who I'm coming around on, just looking at what he's been doing this year, and he's got the opposite of Blake Griffin's problems. It's Dwight Howard. He's a top 60 player right now according to Yahoo ranks, even with this awful free throw percentage. Are you buying his performance so far? Are we crazy to be waiting on an injury? He's only missed one game so far this year, but in the past he always misses time with the back. Are you just waiting for it to come? Are you buying this? How are you treating Dwight Howard?
hey, you know what? I think the injury concern is always sort of there with Dwight. You know, he did have that very major back injury before he joined the Lakers. He had the back surgery. Ever since then, you know, it's been a little bit up and down. But I think for Dwight Howard specifically, and let's consider this personality really, this is a unique case, right? Where going home for some guys can create a lot of pressure and create a lot of expectations. But we really don't have any expectations for the Hawks, right? I mean, I know they got off to that hot start, but most people looked at Atlanta before the season and said, yeah, all right, they'll be all right. You know, they've got Paul Millsap, they've got Schroeder, they've got Dwight Howard now. Yeah, they'll be an all right team in the Eastern Conference, but nobody expected greatness, right? So there wasn't that pressure on Dwight Howard that existed before. And then I think Dwight Howard is also a guy who thrives in his comfort zone. And when you're talking about a guy who can go back home, go to Atlanta, enjoy playing in front of fans who are not demanding greatness, you know, 30 points and 20 rebounds every single night, it might allow him to loosen up, feel more like himself a little bit more. And I think that's what we started to see with the Hawks. I mean, you know, there's something to be said for feeling good when you're in your comfort zone. And for Howard, so far, it's worked this season. Now, it hasn't necessarily translated to Atlanta being a great team by any stretch. You know, they're still pretty much all right. You know, they're a 500 team, you know, 13 and 14. They're an all right team. But in terms of individual production, I mean, you're looking at Dwight Howard and where he was taken in fantasy drafts, and you've got to be thrilled if you took a chance on him, all things considered.
I am, actually. Thank you for asking. I am very thrilled because I did take him in a couple leagues because it literally, as you said it, he dropped. He dropped like crazy. And Bogman, you want to talk about some stuff and things. We love to talk about stuff and things. Dwight's all over it, you know?
Yeah.
A block and a half, averaging a steal, an assist, right. 13 rebounds, 14 points, super low, at least on the assist to turnover ratio. It's not that bad. You know, two turnovers.
Double-double with a block and a steal and a half. Like, I mean, you can live with that even with bad percentages, and his field goal percentage is obviously amazing. So it sounds like you're kind of buying this, but I think people do need to be a little cautious. I mean,
let's play the game, Bogman.
It's a big injury, that back injury, and it seems to get him every single year. Okay. All right.
Let's play the game then. Greg Monroe or Dwight Howard, Ethan?
Dwight Howard.
Are we talking reality, fantasy?
Only fantasy.
I mean, Dwight Howard, as long as Greg Monroe is playing for Jason Kidd, I'm not really going anywhere near that situation. But let me throw this at you, all right? Dwight Howard, we just talked about, he's averaging 14 and 13. He's got a steal, a block and a half. He's shooting 63.2% from the floor, 52.4% from the line. Okay, not great from the line, but that's what we expected, and better than what we saw with the Rockets last year. Okay, now let's go over to DeAndre Jordan, who went, what, third round of most drafts, maybe fourth, some 11.7 points, 13 rebounds, not even a steal a game, 1.8 blocks, 65.8% from the floor, so not that much better, you know, a couple percent better, and 54.2% from the line, you know, so a couple ticks better than Dwight Howard. But when it's all said and done, I mean, those are two very, very comparable players. One went in the top 30, 40, maybe 50 players in the right draft. The other went inside the top 100 toward that 100 count. So that's something to be said for that.
I do. Okay, so a couple more then, real quick. Andre Drummond or Dwight Howard?
Dwight, easy.
Right now, I mean, I got to say Dwight because, you know, if you drafted Andre Drummond, you probably expected big block totals, right? Well, he's averaging more steals, 1.6, than he is blocks, 1.1. He's shooting 53.4% from the floor. So it's solid, but it's not amazing. It's not over 60%. He's only at 45.1% from the line, which represents a significant improvement for him, but it's still lower than Dwight. And when you're talking about everything else, it's 14 points a game, 13 and a half rebounds a game. You know, we're talking pretty similar numbers across the board for these guys.
I love it. Last one. We'll just do this one really quick. And I already know Bogman's answer. Dwight Howard or Jonas Valanciunas?
Oh,
Howard.
I'm not a Valanciunas guy whatsoever. We hear about breakout every year. It never happens. Dwayne Casey isn't going to let it happen. Lowry and DeRozan are the hogs on that team. And until it changes, it ain't changing. And so far, it hasn't changed.
Love it. Get out of here, Jonas Valanciunas. We don't want you. Valueless. I want to move it a little bit over to a guy that we kind of made a focal point last week. And really, the stories are really interesting. I'm really kind of weirded out by the whole situation because we've even had more conversation. I'm talking about Nerlens Noel from Calangela that came out and wants to talk about what a talent Nerlens Noel is, but they're not using him. Brett Brown came out and said, that essentially they can't, we can't play him. Like, the three guys can't play, so he's just not going to play Nerlens Noel. The guy's getting like 8 minutes a game. Noel's out in the media calling it bull crap, really weird comments. He's frazzled. The team seems frazzled. Fans seem frazzled. What side does Noel come out on this Philly situation, and how do you view him from the fantasy standpoint? Because this is wacko.
I mean, how can you not understand the frustration from Nerlens Noel's side? You know, you've got a guy who spent time rehabbing. I understand he wasn't there to begin the year, but he was rehabbing from an injury, right? You brought him along. He's finally ready to play. And then you say, okay, I'm ready to play. And then you sit him on the bench. Are you playing for 8 minutes? And you're willing to pair two guys in Joel Embiid and Jahlil Okafor, who, in my opinion, I don't know if they necessarily fit together, but we're not even going to throw Noel out there with Joel Embiid for a couple minutes, at least not yet. Because we just want to see what happens. And, you know, all this talk about bringing Noel along slowly and he just got back to the team, that's fine, and I get that. But realistically, this is a problem that we knew existed before the season started, right? Once we got all the progress updates on Joel Embiid, he was going to play, everything was going to be fine, at least for the time being, right? Everything has been great so far. Why not make a move at that point? Because every day that passes now, moving forward, every other team in the NBA knows, hey, you have to make a deal. Oh, by the way, it's Nerlens Noel's contract season on top of it. So, yeah, let's watch him walk out the door for nothing, a first-round pick that we traded Drew Holiday away for, or we can make a trade, and yeah, we might have to take 70 cents on the dollar, but at least we get something back in return for our assets.
Something.
You know, and I want to put this comment real quick. I don't want to interrupt you, but this is almost a very telling thing that I'm not sure if people are reading into. And this is on Yahoo, but this is via like the Roto World stuff. It says, Brian Colangelo said Nerlens Noel is, I quote, young, talented prospect. The word prospect in that doesn't make sense to me, because he's not a prospect. He's an NBA player. Joel Embiid is a prospect.
Not like he's in the D League.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. They're almost talking to him like, well, this is the terminology we are going to sell our fans on when we only get, you know, Matthew Dellavedova for Nerlens Noel type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to use that prospect term. That seems odd.
It is odd. I really wish that I had more to say behind it, but just the way that they've gone about it, and they're saying, well, this is not a benching for Nerlens. This is not this. This is not that. Well, tell us what it is.
Yeah, don't please.
Tell us what it actually is, because right now it looks like a benching. It looks like you're trying to evaluate him by sitting him on the bench. It looks like he's on the outside looking in. And if you're going to sit there and tell us everything it's not without telling us what it is, well, then perception is reality, Brian Colangelo. Deal with it.
All right, so with fantasy, what do you want to do with him? I own him in a league. I'm not going anywhere, because I feel like as soon as he is unleashed on a new team, the dude's going to go crazy. How are you treating him from the fantasy perspective? If you own him, are you holding tight? If you don't own him, are you trying to actively acquire him? What do you think?
He's a tough guy to put in any trades, whether you're trading him away or trying to acquire him, because the value realistically is just nobody really knows. It's all about that stash value. From a stash perspective, he's an elite stash to me, because in the right situation, you're talking about a top 50 player. I mean, that's the kind of upside Noel has defensively. You know, he's a center. Let's start there. He's not a power forward. He's a center, and he can be an elite rim protector on a team that's actually willing to give him a chance to be that. So I think it's, you know, he's an elite stash for me. If he's floating on a waiver wire in your league, I pick him up. If you got something to cut, like, you know, if you're cutting a guy like, I don't know, you know, like a Matt Barnes kind of player, not Matt Barnes right now, but that kind of player where you're like, yeah, he could be on my team, maybe not, probably doesn't make a difference either way, right? That kind of player.
Yeah, be careful. Don't say Matt Barnes. He might choke you out, Ethan. You don't want any of that. So.
Yeah, and DeMarcus Cousins' brother, so
yeah.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
I won't make any more Kings references on this podcast. but yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's an elite stash. We've seen it from him before. You know, the injury concern is real, obviously. You know, he's dealt with a couple different things now, but I think this is a guy who's definitely clearly motivated as well, and that can go a long way. I love the contract player guy in fantasy and reality, because they always play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and this is a guy who probably wants to get paid in the offseason. You know, I'm not sure he wants to take that 1 year prove it kind of deal, because it might wind up hurting him in the long run. So I think it's just a matter of time as to when and he gets traded, and where he gets traded, you know, nobody really knows yet, but all this junk about, you know, well, we're trying to just see if we can make three centers work on our roster, roster. Like, oh, by the way, we also have a 6'10" point guard coming down the pipeline. Like,
yeah,
something's gonna work at some point. You know, this isn't the Monstar squad. Like, let's get.
It ain't going to work. And speaking of Matt Barnes, handcuffing. Handcuffing has been a fantasy football thing mainly. You guys didn't laugh at my joke? Handcuffing Matt Barnes?
Oh, with Matt Barnes. Okay. I was waiting. I know, Bogman, I was intently listening to you thinking, oh, who are you handcuffing Matt Barnes with? But then no, it was actually really funny. It just took
a
second.
No, I'm talking about him getting arrested.
Very good. Very good.
Anyway. It's been mainly handcuffing has been mainly a fantasy football thing, but it's picking up steam in basketball. I saw a whole Reddit thread the other day about it. Like, who would you handcuff? Like Ish Smith, Reggie Jackson, those type of guys.
Remember Powell? There was Powell with Lowry. That was a big Reddit one earlier in the year, was Powell with Lowry.
Is it something you do or like to do, Ethan, or are you just kind of like, I'd rather, you know, would you rather take Ish Smith with Reggie Jackson, or would you rather pitch Ish Smith's spot and pick up a Nerlens Noel with no times and wait to see his upside?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it makes way more sense in fantasy football than fantasy basketball. I think it can work in fantasy basketball in the right situation, but it's so hard to be taking a guy who's just going to give you next to nothing if you put him out there to dedicate that roster spot to that guy, especially if you're talking, you know, weekly leagues where you're locked in for the week. That's really hard to do. I do think there are some situations where it could make sense, right? Like, I know a couple guys who have Joel Embiid on their team. They're like, well, I'm just going to take Jahlil Okafor also, just in case, you know.
Yep,
and that's sort of, and you know, that's one where I'm like, all right, like, I understand that both those players, at least right now, do have standalone value on their own too, so that certainly helps. But otherwise, it's got to be a really clear situation to me where it's like, okay, this guy is guaranteed a larger role if the guy in front of him goes down. It doesn't always work out that way in basketball like it would in football, but you know, if you own Anthony Davis and you don't have Terrence Jones on your roster, I think you're making a mistake.
Yeah, you
right
know.
And I think it's one of those things where you have, like, the guy has to also have some type of contribution right now. He can't just be a complete bench player, right?
Right, right, exactly. You got to, I mean, if you're going to put him in the lineup, you got to be able to rely on him to give you something.
And I would say, and I think because you both kind of semi-touched on this, where I think the real handcuffing is all about injuries in basketball. And we saw that a lot this year where it was like people were handcuffing Ty Lawson when they took Darren Collison, handcuffing Ish Smith when you're taking Reggie Jackson. The Embiid one is interesting. It really, it's so few and far between. We may have actually covered the only two true handcuffs in Terrence Jones, Anthony Davis, and Okafor to Embiid. But, you know, speaking of which, I want to ask this. I'd be remiss not to ask this because we talked about him. One of my favorite players. I think he might be, after Russell Westbrook, he might be my favorite player in the NBA right now. That is Joel Embiid. He's not quite getting the love as far as like ranks go because of little percentages and turnovers, but he has been pretty incredible. Over the last 30 days, 17.6 rebounds, 2 assists, a little over a steal, 3 freaking blocks. Field goal percentage is all right. Free throw percentage is all right. But he just is coming off of a monster game in Brooklyn. 33 points, 10 rebounds, a couple blocks. So I ask you, I want to play greater than the process game, Ethan. Are you ready?
Okay. I think so. I mean, I might have to strap on my helmet here, but I think I'll be ready to go.
All right. Greater than the process. Joel Embiid or LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, give me Embiid. And really, for me, it's not even really a decision to be made. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has a sky high usage percentage. You know he's going to be dominating the ball so long as he's out there. Versus a guy who, yeah, LaMarcus is a talented guy, and you know we've seen him put up big numbers in Portland before. But now in that San Antonio system where it gets spread around, playing under Greg Popovich with the random maintenance rest days, you know, he hasn't been that exciting to own this year. And if you drafted him in the mid round, you probably were disappointed at the start because he's really, honestly, LaMarcus Aldridge is that guy where you take in the third or fourth round where you're like, I guess I have to. There's nobody else really that good on the board. Like, but he's such a boring player, right? Like, that's the reaction when you draft LaMarcus Aldridge. So to me, Embiid is just dripping with too much upside to say, all right, I'm gonna take a guaranteed 15 and 8 rebounds instead of passing on this monstrous upside, you know, 20 and 10 with a few blocks type of thing.
Is the future DeMarcus Cousins without the same problems? This is what I've likened him to. We did that one last week in the blind challenge, Bogman. and we both like Embiid over Aldridge at this point.
Yeah.
Number two, greater than the process, Joel Embiid or Serge Ibaka?
This one gets a little bit more difficult for me because, you know, it's all about how the things shake out in Orlando, right? Because you've got Vucevic down there. You've got Bismack Biyombo, which I think surprised everybody when Orlando went ahead and signed him after the Ibaka acquisition. So this one to me is all about playing time, right? We've seen Serge Ibaka post some real stinkers when it comes to his production this year. We've also seen him put up some pretty serviceable lines. And if he's going to be getting the playing time that he should, then yeah, it becomes a lot closer. I mean, let's look at Ibaka's last two games just as a comparison, right? Because this tells the story I'm trying to tell. On December 16th against Brooklyn, he goes for 18-10 with 5 blocks on over 60% from the field and adds a triple just to put a cherry on top with only 1 turnover. He turns around 2 nights later against Toronto, 10 points, 4 rebounds, nothing else. I mean, that's a pretty big disparity between those two lines. And we've seen a lot of that from Ibaka this season, right? One night where you're like, ooh, now I see why everybody, like, you know, starting to talk about him more. And then you follow him for a few nights and you're like, oh, maybe not, right? Maybe it's not so hot. So, I mean, because of that inconsistency, I'm still going to go Embiid. You know, I'm not as gung-ho about it when I'm talking LaMarcus Aldridge, because Ibaka still can give you that fat line where you're like, that's the player that I drafted. But I'm still going to go Embiid here.
Bogman, quickly, Ibaka or Embiid?
I think you have to go Embiid right now. I think those crap numbers that you get from Ibaka, those are basically Embiid's off days on those back-to-backs.
Yes.
That they don't want to play him. That's basically those games. So I would rather have Embiid because he's more consistent on a game-to-game basis.
This is my new favorite game. Next year, I'm going to be like Embiid or James Harden. All right, last one.
James Harden.
Yeah, I know. Greater than the process, Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic?
Secret word.
Oh, boy. All right. Now, we were talking about Jokic a month ago, maybe even at the beginning of the season. I think we'd all be saying Embiid. But let's talk about Jokic right now, right? Ever since Mike Malone said, I think maybe playing my best player more might be a good idea, right? Okay. So in December, he's still only playing 23.5 minutes a game, but he's averaging 16, almost 9 rebounds, 4 dimes, almost a block per game, you know, on 68.5% from the floor. So he's not bringing it defensively like Embiid does, but everything else, oh, by the way, shooting 87% from the free throw line this month. Yeah, things are going pretty good for Nikola Jokic right now, right? He is a per-minute monster. We saw in the second half of last season when he sort of broke out and stole everybody's hearts. And we're starting to see it now that he's on the floor for the appropriate amount of time. I'd still like to see him play more because I think his stat lines can only grow. But even if you take the totality of his production this year, still 11 points a game, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, you know, better than half a steal, half a block, shooting 55.5%. Okay, that's a pretty serviceable player, right? He's a pretty versatile kind of guy. I think the arrow is only pointing up for Jokic, you know, not that it's not for Embiid, but I don't have the same concerns with Jokic that I necessarily do with Embiid, right? Getting past just the medical stuff with Embiid, obviously that's a huge one that we have to mention. Getting past the fact that Embiid doesn't play on those back-to-backs and that he does have his minutes monitors. Okay, we're going to get past that too, right? I don't know what Embiid is going to look like over the course of an 82-game season, right? It's really easy for a guy to look good for 20 games, 30 games, 40 games, maybe even 50 games until that All-Star break comes. But 82-game season is a long regular season. The Sixers are not a good team. I can't imagine them toward the end of the year saying, all right, now it's time to go full bore with Embiid. We've got nothing to play for. Why not just throw him out there for 40 minutes a night, right? That doesn't seem like a likely trajectory, whereas the Nuggets are invested in Jokic. They want to rebuild. They want to do it the right way. I can see his playing time rising. So for the rest of season, I'm going to take Jokic with the only caveat of this. If you need the defensive stats, I can see why somebody would lean Embiid, but I got to take Jokic for how versatile he is, how well-rounded his game is, and for the role I think he's going to enjoy from this point moving forward.
Bogman, what are you? Real quickly, Bogman, Jokic or Embiid?
I'm still taking Embiid. I like Jokic, and he's playing way, way better, and all the things that Ethan said are true. But I think you can say the same thing about Jokic that you can about Embiid. Obviously not with the medical stuff, but as far as the coaching goes, and are they going to move for Reed, and what is Malone going to do with the lineup, and all that stuff. And I think the Sixers are equally as invested, if not more so, in Embiid than the Nuggets are Jokic. So I think that you can make an argument for both of these guys either way. I think think you're really kind of splitting hairs. But for me, I think that Embiid is the more talented, better player. I do have some concerns about him getting shut down, but I think if there's a Nick or a Bruce, a Jokic, the same thing could be said about him at the end of the year, because I don't think either one of these teams are going to sniff the playoffs. So I think I would go with Embiid.
And that's fair. I mean, you think about these two players, just the fact that we're comparing Joel Embiid, who had an ADP of what, maybe 7th, 8th round, 9th round in some drafts, to Jokic, who went as high as a 2nd or 3rd round in other drafts. Just the fact that these two names are comparable should tell you everything you need to know about how good Embiid has been this year.
You're damn right. I love playing that game. That's my favorite game. Jokic, by the way, has played 30 minutes once in his last 11 games. Do agree his trajectory is moving up. Embiid's has held the entire season. I lean Embiid. If this were like a trade thing, I would love having Jokic and being able to go get maybe Embiid and something. You know, if you're in a keeper league, I mean, that's an easy trade for me. But they are close, which I would also throw out here. It's a statement on both players. It's a statement for Embiid on how high he's come up, and it's a statement for Jokic on the value he has returned, where it looked disgusting for the first month of the season. So it's a statement for both of them.
Those were some great questions that we just had with Ethan Noroff. And now, after this break, we're going to go back to player debates. I put them together this week, so you know they're amazing. So stick around after the break. Player debates coming up. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Do it!
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, gentlemen, player debates. Ethan, you've done these before. How we do them, we take one player versus another player, and we talk rest of season value. Try to do it in a vacuum. You know, 8-9 cats sometimes can play a marker in these, but we like to just play straight up. Which would you rather take? First one up on the docket here, Bogdan put this one together. KCP versus Gary Harris. Rest of season value. Ethan, let's start with you. What do you think?
I'm going to go KCP. I've been pretty vocal about Kentavious. I mean, he's been nothing but awesome this year. Gary Harris has already dealt with a couple different injuries. I don't think necessarily concerned about those things recurring, but at the same time, KCP has a ton of minutes guaranteed to him. He is remarkably durable. Stan Van Gundy clearly values what he brings on both ends of the floor. Not that Mike Malone doesn't with Gary Harris, but KCP, the minutes, the shots are going up. His game is starting to diversify. Give me KCP.
Bogman, what do you think?
This one's tough because they do the same things. Threes, points, few boards, assists, steals. Gary Harris is shooting much better this season than KCP, but Gary Harris has missed a ton of games, and he's in that weird lineup that Ethan mentioned. He has Will Barton right behind him, Jamal Murray right behind him. KCP seems to be the only guy in Detroit's lineup that isn't in danger of losing time, but he is so inconsistent. Over his last 10 starts, he's scored as much as 25, as few as 7, as many as 10 boards, as few as 1, 10 assists, 0 assists, 5 three-pointers, 0 three-pointers. They're both good. I think I'm going to go with Gary Harris. He should not be on your wire. I know he's on a lot of people's wire. I would add him ASAP if I could, but I think this one is pretty razor thin, but I want to go with Harris for the rest of the year. KCP's inconsistency.
I'm surprised he's on any wires, actually. 68% owned, though, and KCP's only 78% owned. I'm going to go with my guy. Everyone knows in the preseason, I was a Gary Harris guy. Over the last 14 days, it's the most nonsensical stat, by the way, if you were to search this, because he's only played 2 games. He is ranked 3rd overall on Yahoo, but it's only over 2 games. It's because the field goal percentage has been phenomenal. I think I agree with what you guys both said. I mean, this is razor thin. They both do the same type of stuff. I'm a Gary Harris guy, though. I think, I don't know, I want to say he's a star, but he's a scorer. Like, he's a guy that is going to put up big points in the league. Would not be shocked if at some point he's a DeMar DeRozan type of player. That's what he did at Michigan State. He's a scorer. He's going to put him up, and he's putting up some stuff and things. He's getting in on the steals. Rebounds and assists are pretty nice. Percentages are great, and three-pointers. It's not a damnification of KCP, but it's Gary Harris for me. That's my guy. That's where I'm going. Bogman, what is number 2 here?
Number two is LaMarcus Aldridge versus Gorgie Jang for the rest of the season. I'll just kick this one off. I can't believe when I looked at this one, the numbers were so close. I mean, this could be the blind comparison that you put out every week, the Welsh, if you look at him. The biggest difference for these guys is LMA has the edge in points, 16.6 to 10.2. And free throw percentage, LMA leads 83 to 72%. Jang is ahead in field goal percentage, 52 to 47. He adds a half a rebound, 0.4 assists, 0.1 steals, 0.2 blocks, and the turnovers are even. But I don't think I'm going to not take the Longhorn this time. I think I'm still going to go with LMA because I think Powell could miss some time eventually, and LMA could gain some usage. Although the one game that Powell missed so far, Aldridge is awfully at 5.8 boards, 3 assists, and nothing else. But I think that I just feel like I have to take LaMarcus Aldridge in this one. I don't know about you. What do you think, Ethan?
Yeah, I mean, I literally wrote in my on my post-it note here that I've been keeping while we've been doing this. I just wrote the word yuck, honestly. Yeah. That's sort of how I feel about the comparison. That being said, as boring as LaMarcus is, I am going to take LaMarcus for Jang. I mean, it's just the lack of scoring really hurts for me. I mean, unless you're talking like on a team where you absolutely need the defensive stats, like then maybe Jang gets a slight boost. But even then, you know, as disappointing as LaMarcus has been in some respects, I'm still taking Aldridge here.
You know, it's pretty amazing without looking, and I don't know if you have it, Bogman. What do you think the minute per game like average is between the two? Like, what's the gap?
I'd say it's probably favored in Jang by 5 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay, because they're within 10 seconds of each other.
Are they really?
Game. Yeah, I actually, wow. If you would have asked me, I would have said Aldridge 33 minutes, Jang maybe 31 minutes or something like that. Aldridge is averaging 31 minutes, 49 seconds, and Jang is 31 minutes, 39 seconds. It's pretty interesting, but I'm in agreement here. I'm going to go with Aldridge. I still think, even though he's boring, even though he's on a boring team, he's older, there's still more, and this might sound weird, I think there's more fantasy ceiling, where what we're getting with Jang, I think this is what we get with Jang, because there's a guy named Karl-Anthony Towns, there's a guy named Zach LaVine, there's a guy named Andrew Wiggins, and maybe Gorgie Jang could get up on the rebounds a little bit, maybe a little bit more on the stuff and things, but I think Aldridge is a guy that could be a big step up in the second half. So Jang, this is damning to Aldridge that he's down in this territory, not that Jang is like right. Super far down, but I am going to go with Aldridge as well.
Yeah, it's one of those that's close, but it shouldn't be close. It should be Aldridge pretty easy, but because of all the stuff and things that Jang is slightly better than in LaMarcus Aldridge, like if Jang added 4 points to his scoring, I would take Jang because he's better in everything else than Aldridge is, but it's that low scoring. I just can't do it.
If Jang was actually a double-double guy, if he were like 10 points and 10 rebounds, I would have taken him. Or if he was like another rebound and the blocks were closer to two, I probably would have taken him, but he hasn't proven that. Last one, though, I love this one. This is one of my favorite ones maybe we've done all season, because I like that they're a little off the beaten path, these two players are. They're not quite the same. Bogman, I'm going to start with you, then we'll go to me, so we can end with our guest Ethan here. This is a good one. Hassan Whiteside versus Paul Millsap, rest of season.
Well, Millsap is one of my guys for sure, and he's having a decent year, but I don't know why, but it feels disappointing for me. And really, the only thing he's down is a lot is the blocks, 1.7 from 1.0, but playing next to Dwight Howard's probably going to do that to you a little bit. Whiteside is murderballing Millsap in boards. He's 6.8 more, field goal percentage 6% higher, blocks 1.3% higher. You got to figure out, is that worth the hit in free throw percentage? And Millsap still has those elite steals at 1.7. I keep going back and forth on this, but I think I'm going to go with Whiteside for the big reason we saw him improve his free throws last year. So I don't know what it was at the end of last year that had him shooting, I think it was like 71% in the last month of the year, two months of the year.
Cheeseburgers he was eating in the Hondas. He got off them.
Right, right, exactly. So if he can just find that again and he can get up to 65 to 70% in the free throws, I don't even think this is close. I would take Hassan Whiteside. So because of that, I'm going to put a little faith in Hassan Whiteside, and I'm going to take him over my guy Paul Millsap. And it was strange for me to say that because Millsap is definitely my guy.
Yeah, and I was a Whiteside guy this season. Remember, my wheel pick was Lillard and Whiteside together. Love the pairing. I think these are incredibly close. But I'm going to go Whiteside. I'm going to lean on the eliteness. I love the stuff and things from Millsap, and he's right there. But I am getting four elite categories, and I mean elite categories. I'm getting, and for the big man and what he's doing, I'm going to qualify points as elite here for him. But elite rebounds, elite blocks, elite field goal percentage, steals, assists are really, not even there. Free throw percentage isn't like what some of those big guys do. It's close, but I'm going to go Whiteside. But I'm excited to hear. What do you think, Ethan? Are you going to... you going to agree with all of us, or are you going to go on the Millsap train?
It's really tough for me. This one, they're such different players, right?
Right.
Like if you take one of these guys with your first or second round pick, depending on your draft, where you're positioned, all that, you're building your team basically around this guy. And no matter which one you take, you're building vastly different teams as a result, in my opinion, right? So you look at Millsap and you think, he's just kind of been all right this year. He hasn't really been explodingly good. I mean, he's still a guy he's averaging 17 and 8, 4 assists. A steal and a half, better than a steal and a half, a block a game, a three a game. I mean, he's still doing it all. He's doing all the stuff, all the things, all the money stats. It's all there, right? We love Millsap for his versatility. But I'm going to agree with you because Whiteside is so elite. And the things that he does well, he doesn't just do them well. He does them really remarkably well, right? 17 and a half points, 15 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, basically a steal a game. I mean, you're talking, this is a guy who, if you have Hassan Whiteside in your lineup, you're probably going to get a nice little boost in field goal percentage. You're probably going to win blocks. You should win blocks unless you just completely messed up your draft. You should win rebounds. Millsap is like a steroided out version of Nicholas Batum, for lack of a better.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, I love that kind of player, like the Andre Kirilenko back in the day, who contributes across the stat sheet. I love that guy on my fantasy team, but I know that I can't rely on that guy every single night to give me X or to give me Y. Because Millsap, as good as he's been, he can give you the 27-6 with 2 steals, 2 blocks, 2 threes. That's great. But then he can give you 14-5-4 with not much else too, right? It's sort of that in between. Whiteside's knee concerns me a little bit because we've heard on and off with that. Millsap's he's got to play through his hip injury, probably not going to deal with it until after the season. So, those kind of cancel each other out. But for me, it's Whiteside, but it's only by this much. You're not talking Aldridge and Embiid anymore. We're talking just a handful of picks if we were redrafting today.
I love it. And I want to point out also that is the second straight week we've had a Andre Kirilenko AK-47 reference from our guests. So I think that is phenomenal. Phenomenal. 2 AK-47 references. And great to have on Ethan Noroff from Roto World. Find him on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. Check out all the stuff they got going on at Roto World, all the great articles and the in-season stuff. We've had Gallagher on and Dr. A and everything, we've told you guys about that. The in-season stuff, it's hard to match. There's not many places that do it. Only a couple do it, and Roto World's at the top of it, and Ethan is contributing to that. Well, man, we appreciate you coming on. Joining us again. It's always great having you on. Hope you have a nice, calm holiday, whatever it is you end up doing, which is definitely going to be some Chinese food, which I agree with. And you may get a knock at your door that Bogman and I are going to come knocking for some gambling over at Commerce.
Sounds good to me. Come on down. But, in all sincerity, man, I love being on with you guys. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be able to do it again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Ethan.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Once again, we want to thank Ethan Noroff for taking the time out to talk some fantasy basketball. Hope if you missed any part of this, by the way, you can search In This League on iTunes, or you can just go to fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio and you can get on demand. Maybe you missed some of the week 16 plays we were talking about. You can find them there. If you miss any of the Ethan Noroff interview, you can find that there as well. Go to inthisleague.com and you can find everything that we do. Football, basketball, baseball, prospect for baseball, prospect for football. We got a hockey podcast, college football. It is all at inthisleague.com. You can get some ITL swag. You can find out how you can be an insider and part of our In This League program, the ITL Army. It's all there. And find us on Twitter at isitthewelsh, at Bogman Sports. Have a happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Whatever it is that you do, if it's eating, if it's drinking, or celebrating with family, do it in style. We'll talk to you next week. It's Bogman, it's the Welsh, and In This League. Peace out.
See ya.